babe, this is crazy. This can't be real. Oh my God, babe.
People still don't understand how cell phones work, but they all use them.
I am going to be like a Nostra ambassador.
A browser extension that pays you Bitcoin and you're a person that's trying to get as much Bitcoin as possible, you're more likely to install it.
I felt like I was shopping for features.
It's the engineering department of Nostra.
They still don't fully understand what Nostra is. You're listening to Flirting with Bitcoin, a weekly chat with my very interesting husband about Bitcoin and how the world and our family's life is better because of it.
It's season 4 and we've moved to Nostra City.
So my Bitcoin lessons are done?
Your Bitcoin lessons are never done.
So what does new social media have to do with it?
Babe, Nostra is more than social media. If Bitcoin is the new money, Nostra is the new internet.
You really think so?
I do. I believe Nostra will drive the next wave of Bitcoin adoption. So Nostra City is where we need to be.
We?
Yeah, of course you're bringing Keon. You got your bags packed, buddy?
Yes.
Good job. Don't forget to pack your NPub.
Let's go. Hey, Ian.
Hey, Mandana.
It's the Flirting with Bitcoin podcast, reporting live from Madeira.
Hey, you said it right.
I did. I said it right for the first. You know, the flight attendant on the flight over here was first to correct me on my pronunciation. He said, "Are you going to Lisbon?" And I said, "No, I'm going to Madeira." And he said, "Madeira." And I said, "Oh, is that how you pronounce it?" And he said, "Yeah, you ignorant American."
He said it with his eyes.
Yeah, he said it. No, it's nice. Truly, we took TAP Portugal, the nicest flight attendants I've possibly ever encountered. But I think they were extra nice to us because we did have a toddler with us. It just like completely matching the stereotype of Portugal being incredibly family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, that's not the only thing that's happened. We've been here for about 10 days. Here in Madeira for the Sovereign Engineering Program. And a lot has happened in those 10 days when it comes to, I think, what we know and what we're thinking about and what we want to do. So a lot to get into.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Before we do, babe, what time is it?
The current time is 887-188, and we're approximately 1,775 blocks since our last recording.
And if I gave you one U.S. dollar, how many acres could I get on sunny Bitcoin Island?
Today, you could get 1,257 acres, a.k.a. Satoshis, on sunny Bitcoin Island.
It's funny to say that on an island. That where we've paid for things in Bitcoin quite a few times now.
Yeah, twice now I've gone into a store not expecting to pay in Bitcoin and then seeing on their cash register like Bitcoin accepted here, or better yet, Bitcoin aceptar aquí, I believe. And I'm just like, oh, and then, you know, they ring it up and I'll say Bitcoin and they're like, yeah. So like it's happened twice now, which is kind of funny that like it's just more ubiquitous than I even am expecting.
Yeah. So last week when I dropped you off at the co-working space, and I was with Keon, I just like walked until I saw a cute cafe and we went in there and, you know, I'm holding him the whole time and I'm like trying to order and pay. And so after that whole exchange, I see the Bitcoin accepted sign and I was like, wait, what? Huh? And the guy was like, yeah, yeah. And I said, okay, next time. And he was like, okay, whatever. He's obviously somewhat used to it, if not very used to it. But I was like, wait, well, huh? Why didn't you offer that to me first? Like they're not doing that, but it's very interesting how normal it is here.
Well, I think the way that they've been like selling it in town, it's almost like you're pitching another credit card.
Mm-hmm.
You accept American Express, you accept Bitcoin. So like, why would I ask you, do you want to pay in that?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah, it was really cool. I got to talk to someone who knows the person that is going out to the businesses on this island and onboarding them onto accepting Bitcoin, putting them on BTC map. I think that is just so cool. And I wish I remembered the numbers, but in the past year, it's really exponentially grown.
They've doubled it.
Yeah. I think a little bit more than that possibly. But I gotta take my notes next time I talk to these really interesting people that are doing really cool stuff. so that I can accurately report it out on the podcast. But yeah, it's getting there. It's going to, maybe this will be one of the Bitcoin islands in the future.
Yeah, I hope so.
Get the power back, get the freedom back, get an M-Pub, and just start with that.
So the Sovereign Engineering Program, I had so many questions about. I didn't quite understand it, but I got to come to Demo Day on Friday, and I got to see the product of what has come out of the first week. And so a lot clicked for me. I still don't think I'm the person that needs to explain what this program is. You should, but it really is a very special thing to be participating in. And I feel so lucky. I'm in the signal chat for all the people in the group, and there's a lot of interesting stuff being shared. And I'm like, in what universe would I have been in a chat like this if we had not taken the path that we took? Maybe you would be in a group chat like that, but why on earth am I in there? I'm just like hearting stuff here and there, but I'm like, I have no business being in this group chat with some of like the smartest, I don't even know if it's like curiosity or bravery, but there's something very special about someone who comes to a program like this to work on the stuff that they do. And whatever it took for them to get to that point to where they could slash would come to a program like this, it's just fascinating. But I'm gonna hand it over to you. Can you explain, you know, after this week, what you see this program being?
Yeah. So after being here for about a week, the way I see the Sovereign Engineering Program is it's the engineering department of Noster, right? Like someone built basically the Noster version of file distribution, right? Called Blossom. They built that here at Sovereign Engineering. There's a new app store on Android that you can like install all these Noster clients from called Zap Store. That was built here at Sovereign Engineering. And so there's a lot of things that are coming out of Sovereign Engineering that are actually providing infrastructure for other Noster applications, right? Like we need a way to store files and how to explain that on the Noster network. And someone built that, right? And so in addition to actual things being built here that are improving the Noster network, everyone here already has all the context needed to discuss what I'm working on. So like out in the real world or in the fiat world, I guess, if I'm talking to friends and family and I want to explain Nextblock and the attention marketplace, like I have to explain Bitcoin. I have to explain Noster. I have to explain how the chaos cartel works. I have to explain the business model of social media and all that stuff before I can even explain what it is that I'm trying to do and solve.
Yeah. And so at that point, how can you even get like good feedback from that person when you've just loaded so much on them? Whereas here you can have possibly a 5-minute discussion and learn something new.
Yeah. And like a good example of that is when we were in Amsterdam, one of the guys here, like he was there, he saw our presentation at Nostradam. And so on the hike that we did on Sunday, he kind of came up to me and we were talking. And he was like, yeah, you know, I think you can do it like this, right? So he had a way to actually tell me how to improve my thing that like everyone else that I know has no idea and is not even remotely thinking it's a problem, right? That's everyone that's here. And so to me, that's very valuable. It's very valuable for me to be able to talk to other engineers and really get into like the technical reasons how this thing is going to work. Like, yes, the business model is going to work, but we need to not lose money in bad coding, right? And so that's the things that they always jump on, right? They're always jumping on how someone's going to attack it. And it's like, oh no, I have this defense or I have this defense, right? And I just can't have that conversation with any of my engineering friends at the moment. So
yeah, the structure of the program is Monday through Friday, and where Monday people are starting out with what they want to work on that week. And if, you know, by the end of the week, they're showing something. So Ian demoed something, but just generally was talking about what Nextblock is, the idea that we have. And then immediately there were a lot of questions that were good questions. I don't think there were any that you hadn't gotten before, but people got it enough to ask those questions to sure like, yeah, what about this? Did you guys think about that? Have you thought about that? Clearly, because oftentimes someone hasn't thought about something for a year before they're sharing it. in a conversation like that, but I loved that. It's very interesting though, to see the other things that people are working on and how they're like, yeah, I thought it would be really cool. And like, I don't know, this took me like 20 hours total. This is what I busted out. It's working, but I'm going to need this and this. And then the questions that came up for those. And then I'm listening in and I turn to you each time and I'm like, so what is that the use case that for this, or is this solving that problem? And you would like nod or clarify. And I want to say like 9 times out of 10, I was like, Ian, I want that in next block. I want that too. I want this. I want it to work that way. And you're like, okay, well. I felt like I was shopping for features.
Well, yes and no, right? So that is a great way to describe it and a terrible way to describe it at the same time. So it's a great way to describe it because Noster is not a corporation, right? Like everyone's just building their own thing. But the only way that Noster works is that no matter what you build, I should be able to build the same thing. If I can't replicate what you've done, then you really didn't build it for Noster, right? And so, yeah, there were a lot of things that were being demoed that would be improvements to NextBlock, because fundamentally NextBlock is just a Noster application, right? And so we won't explain this to NextBlock users explicitly, right? But what I envision happening is that NextBlock users will eventually become Noster users, and then we'll start getting asks for features that are like common on Noster and that we don't support, right? And we'll have to have a reason why we support it or not, and that's a different conversation. But once people realize that like I can have different things, some things everybody will expect, but hopefully the way that Noster is playing out, people will say, no, when I want X, I go to this app. That's like the best way to get X. And when I want Y, I go to this app, which is the best way to get Y. But I didn't really change anything. It's just like a different tab on this really big network called Noster.
Yeah, that's absolutely the vision, the long-term vision that we have for NextBlock. We're the on-ramp to Noster and possibly Bitcoin for a lot of people.
Yeah, the thing about this program from the technical side is also about building something that basically is resilient enough where perhaps being successful might be to its detriment. Whatever you build needs to be able to survive the attacks that are going to come that we know have happened in the past, like the attacks against Napster and the attacks against BitTorrent and the attacks against Bitcoin and the attacks against, right? Like when something works a little too good for the people, it tends to be attacked. So the Sovereign Engineering Program is about understanding how to build applications that can survive those attacks.
Yeah, I love that that is the compass that is guiding a lot of the conversations. It's really inspiring to watch. It's really inspiring to see people who just on their own are committing time to something that we are really committing our whole life to, right? Mm-hmm. We quit our jobs, we're all in on Bitcoin, you know, all of those things. And then to see like, yeah, there are other people that this is a no-brainer for them. They're also here. They're also figuring out what their contribution can be, what problems they can solve. It's really exciting. The one thing I will say is there is no women there. And it sucks that me, the one woman that's there right now, is not an engineer. So if you're a woman working on Noster and you're an engineer, this is a place you should come to as well. It should not just be me, but it's just the beginning, right? 1 year in.
I would push back on you saying that you're not an engineer.
I know you don't seem to like when I say that, but I'm not an engineer, babe.
No, like you, I think you're confining what engineering is into a very specific like worldview.
So when you say engineering department, I would still be working in the engineering department. Yes. Of Noster. I just wouldn't be a developer.
Yes.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes. I do agree with that. And I'm trying to think of how to explain my role here. I have worked with engineers in my old job, of course, but yeah, I guess. I think it's actually an interesting thought to think if you're someone who is working on Noster, but you're not in the weeds as much as, say, some of the people here, there is likely still a seat at the table for you. You have a contribution to make, if not just could benefit from hearing the conversations that are happening. The thing that has been most exciting for me is that I understand what everyone's saying. I understand most of the things that are being talked about. It's like basic engineering stuff that I'm like, huh, what does that mean? Oh, you have to do that. I don't even know that that's, you know, data sets and fold. I don't know how that works, but I'm like, oh, okay. What's problem is that solving? Got it. Cool. We're building the Nostr version of that. And that's how the Nostr version of this works. Oh, what's the limitation? Cause it's on Nostr. Like all of those things are the questions that I have. And then I'm like, okay, I understand it. And funny enough, like eCash is like the it girl of this cohort. And maybe like the newest it girl of Nostr. But Ian like went into the first day, not fully understanding it, in the course of the week, understood it. I hadn't even gone in yet. You explained it to me. And then on Friday, and now like today, I understand what everyone's saying when they're talking about eCash. So like, my goodness, there's so many people that are trying to grow Nostr that would benefit from understanding these conversations. Because then let's say you're talking to different stakeholders or future Nostr stakeholders, you can say like, yes, there are people working on these solutions, but this is where we're starting. And I think that I am going to be like a Nostr ambassador ultimately for people already in the Nostr ecosystem, but also like people that want to come in and understand what it is. Because even if we have Nextblock running, not just billboard, but social, and we have people that are enjoying it, they still don't fully understand what Nostr is. That education is still going to need to happen. And to say like, all right, well, you have restrictions here on how you move about the internet when you're in Nextblock, but you can do a lot more. You own your identity and like, this is what's there for you. And I feel responsible to keep that going once we've launched social. I feel responsible to keep that going even when we have billboard, but I just feel like that's less of a appropriate space to be doing that education. But I mean, I have to be very honest, this stuff is not translated well for the masses yet.
It never is.
Yeah.
People still don't understand how cell phones work, but they all use them.
Yeah. Even the concept of this program is hard for people to grasp and understand.
Yeah.
They're like, so you pay them? No. They pay you? No. And people just work on stuff. People might work on your stuff and you don't pay them. Why? It's such an interesting world to live in and really experience what it means. Like, you don't need any permission to do any of this. Whereas possibly in the context of America, a program like this possibly couldn't operate because the culture isn't there to operate in this way.
I mean, I think if, for example, I think if sovereign engineering was happening in the States, I think there'd be a number of people that would show up to it. Getting to Madeira is not easy, right? So like in America, theoretically, you could drive there. Madeira is an island. Like you got to buy a plane ticket. You got to do that type of traveling and that costs money. I think the limitation in the States, though, is that the majority of like no one's trying to get a visa to go to America to work on Nostr. Right. So most of the engineering talent that's like trying to go to America is not trying to go to America to work on Nostr. It's trying to go to America to work for Google or Facebook or Apple or work for these big corporate entities because, you know, for lack of a better term, that's a lot of stability and money for someone who's coming from, like, I'm just going to say the Philippines. Right. But, you know, with Nostr, it's the reverse. Right. Like in theory, a lot of us have Bitcoin. A lot of us aren't trying to go somewhere to make a better life for someone back home. We're just trying to make a better life. And the incentive structure for why you might help someone is very different, right? It's very different why you might go to a place and just work with someone on their stuff or your stuff. Like maybe you need their stuff to work. And it's like, man, it'd be really cool if we could just like sit down for like a couple of weeks and bang this out. Okay, we'll come here. It doesn't have to be a program.
Or that's a cool idea. I want to make sure this happens. So let me help so that we can just bust this out.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a program like Sovereign Engineering. Sovereign Engineering, I feel, is like almost like a meetup and or like a speed dating kind of situation where it's like if you guys vibe and you want to go off and keep working on stuff, like great. Like there's people here who've been here multiple times There's obviously like friendships and stuff like that. It's not like a bunch of strangers just showed up. Some people know each other. I mean, you and I are the strangers.
Yeah. There's also a level of mentorship that I really love and appreciate because there are people that have been in the Bitcoin space for a long time. They've been developing on Nostr for a long time. And that is so helpful for anyone who's trying to enter this realm and mm-hmm. really make an impact. I really appreciate the guidance and the advice. And, you know, trying to keep people on track from the beginning, if they have an idea, really helping them hone that in. I love that. I love that. That's an added piece to this because it goes to the culture of just helping each other out because we have a shared common goal. And it's just beautiful to experience.
Yeah, I'm loving it here.
Aw, I'm so glad, babe.
I mean, the program aside, like just the lifestyle that we've been living for like the last 10 days just feels, I mean, it just feels better. Like obviously this isn't our normal life, but like back home, it's still kind of cold. It's cold here, but it's not like a bitter, dry cold. When we go downtown into the town, it's like, it's a small town. You can walk around. You don't need a car. The car is almost inconvenient at mm-hmm. this point. We're just a little too far away to walk all the way downtown.
Yeah.
And then the people, you know, even though we're in a different country and we don't really speak the language, the people aren't unfriendly to you. Right. And, you know, if you say hello or goodbye or, you know, thank you in Portuguese, like that's enough. Right. And I just don't feel like I feel like I haven't even heard a horn honk here. It's just a very slow paced place. And even though the way we live back home in DC is technically slow paced, like when I have to drive Keon to your parents in the morning, that's like an hour and a half of my life with like people going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't do that. Like here, your parents are here. We wake up, everyone's here. And it's like, we don't have to do that. We get like 3 hours of our life back, or at least one of us gets 3 hours of our life back. Like everyone's just got a little bit more time because we're all here in one spot.
Yeah. It's wonderful to experience. And it's just the beginning. We have another month here to go. So fun's just started.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back, get an M-Pub, and just start with that.
Okay, so one of the benefits of this program is that we've plopped ourselves on an island so that we have a little bit more time and can enjoy our life and our family while also crushing it with Next Block. So we've had some more time to think and ideate, and we have improved, I think, our approach to how we want to, you know, make all of this happen, create the attention marketplace, actually make it possible for people to buy and sell attention. Our long-term vision continues to become more clear as we figure out the small steps we need to take to get to this big vision. I think this idea of having a social media app that pays you to watch ads and has this really cool design where there's blocks and neighborhoods and really great content and all of these users. Like that is the goal. And even beyond that, we have other things that we want to do. But to get there, we have to do a lot. You and I, over the past few months, have been trying to figure out how can we actually pull this off? How can we pull this off by building something that looks good, that works? How can we get advertisers to put ads into it before there are people? And then how do we get people to use it? And then how do we keep that going so that we have enough data so that we can actually have a marketplace, actually show data as if attention was a commodity? And then from there, how do we let people take that data and act on it, right? And changing the price of the advertisements, changing the price of their attention. How do we keep that going enough that we can fund building Next Block Social and launching that, right? So that's the A to B to C to D, you know, that we've been trying to figure out. And in the 10 days that we've been here, we came up with a plan of attack. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Ian. How are we going to pull this off?
That's a great way of, that's a great handoff. So the little bit of backstory, right? The Sovereign Engineering program is only 6 weeks long. And when we realized that we were coming here, I started thinking like, okay, well, what am I going to actually work on when I'm there? I'm not going to just work on Next Block. That's like a really big idea. And I got to, you know, do a lot of stuff for that. So I was like, okay, I want to be productive towards Next Block, but I want to do something that it doesn't really matter if it succeeds. It's more of like an experiment. So I can help just explain to the cohort, like what I'm working on. So I came up with two ideas. One was a basically browser extension that anyone could install. And after they've signed up on Billboard or even now through the extension, you can just set your price for your attention and start watching ads in your browser as you browse the internet. I thought that'd be pretty cool, assuming that there's advertisers in the system, right?
And the problem that that solves is how do we get people back into the Billboard app to watch the next ad when there's the next block? But instead, when they're surfing the web, that web extension would tell them, hey, next block's here, watch an ad, and they can watch an ad and then get back to scrolling.
Yeah, and that had seemed like a little bit of a problem in the beginning, but it was always like, but we're going to do something else. And so coming back is like, if they want to come back, they can, but it was more about paying them to learn about Next Block. And then the other idea that I had was kind of the same thing, but, you know, like an embeddable line of JavaScript or embeddable widget on a website. So if you were a website owner, you could drop this widget on your webpage. And if your browser detects that someone is running a Noster extension, like our extension would be, then they could display a Next Block ad to you when you're browsing the website. Had you not installed the web extension, the website did it. And so these are like the two ideas that I came here with. Like, I'm going to do one of those two. And I was talking about the one of those two on the first day that I was here with everybody who I could talk to. And I got a lot of feedback. Somebody was like, nobody installs web extensions. And I was like, that's a fair, that is true. And then another guy who's here, he's like, look, I've run a pretty successful website. And, you know, if you have a way to pay me just by dropping a line of JavaScript on my page, he's like, I would do it, right? He's like, you're probably going to get more people doing that than installing the web extension, right? So I was like, okay, cool. Like, that's, no one's saying don't do it. You know, they're just giving their opinions on which one to do. And so over the course, like the first 2 days, I was going back and forth on which one I was going to do. But on Wednesday, someone did a demo of this program called Cursor, which is basically like an AI that helps you write code. And I watched this guy produce something that actually worked by just telling it what he wanted it to do. And I was like, ooh, I got to go try that because that looked a little too easy. And so I came home that night and I was like playing with it and I was like, oh my God, this is actually working. And I just happened to had already started the web extension like folder and I started working in there. So I just used the AI to like try to make that. And it basically was building it for me.
Yeah. You kept being like, babe, this is crazy. This can't be real. Oh my God, babe, it's just doing it.
So yeah, I mean like I'm not here to pitch that particular tool right now. I was very impressed. And one of the things that I realized was how I can use this particular type of AI to help me do both of those things while I'm here. I don't have to pick one or the other because the reason why I was going to have to be one or the other is that I have never done either one of those. So I was going to have to like research and understand how to do it. But instead, I just asked this AI and it not only told me, it wrote the code and it was working and it gave me like a pretty good example. And I was like, oh, that's how you do this? Okay, now I can step in and like make it cleaner and make it make sense. But it was able to produce a working example for me that taught me what I didn't know in like a day. And I just thought that was like so powerful. And so because now that I expect for us to have those two ideas that I said pretty much done when we come out of here. You know, when Sovereign Engineering cohorts complete, there's always like a list of here are the projects that were built here. Right. And so, and since those are going to be the two things that we're going to be promoting on our way out of here, both of those would tie into not so much Next Block social, but those two things tie into the attention marketplace and Billboard. Right. So when you're saying like, how are we going to pull this off? these two ideas that I didn't think were super important or valuable before we got here now actually give us a more straightforward path from A to B to C. Because, okay, if someone opts in to being advertised to and you offer them, hey, do you want to install this extension and take it with you on the internet? Like, that's an interesting, that's going to be an interesting conversion rate right there, right? And at the same time, if you happen to be a website operator and understand the value prop and people start putting these widgets on their websites, that actually totally changes the math of, well, how many possible people will we have in this system? Because if the way that I'm at least envisioning building this widget would be, it can display you the best ad in the system, but when you click it, you end up in the next block domain and it's like, do you have an account? No, you have to create an account, sign up for your account or whatever. And boom, now they've opted in and they get the same prompt. Do you want to put the browser extension?
Yeah.
Right. And so like, no matter how we get them in there, the browser extension is how you signal like, no, I want to take this experience with me after I've signed up on Billboard.
But you just said people don't download browser extensions.
Oh, there's browser extensions that get downloaded. It's just most of the time.
Right.
It's like, does your browser extension actually matter?
Does your browser extension pay you Bitcoin?
Exactly. And so my thesis would be a browser extension that pays you Bitcoin and you're a person that's trying to get as much Bitcoin as possible, you're more likely to install it. But even if you don't, as a website operator, I might still be wanting to monetize in that same way. And so I'm incentivized to put it on a website. And now NextBlock and the attention marketplace are no longer constrained to just Noster. Like now NextBlock is on the internet and NextBlock Social will just be a narrow channel compared to the entire internet. So that's how we get to social, right? If we can do all those things first, then when we launch social, we should have a bunch of users already in place. We should have an attention marketplace already in place. Otherwise, we're not going to do social, right? And at the same time, because now it's a thing that's like popping up on the internet more and more and more, there'll be some brand awareness that still doesn't require you to know what Bitcoin is or what Noster is. You only really learn about that once you start using it.
Yeah. So to recap, what we're going to do is launch the sponsor dashboard, which is basically where people can buy attention. And then after that, we'll launch Billboard, where people can come in and actually watch the ads. Then we'll launch the web extension so that people can regularly get paid for their attention, getting in the habit of that. Then we'll launch the attention marketplace, where we'll have actual data that's presenting attention as a commodity. And then after that, we'll launch the widget,
yeah,
which will allow websites to monetize the attention that they get on their websites. So we're really excited. I think that the more time that we have around people that are doing really cool things and we learn from their mistakes that they're teaching us through their mentorship, and just having the time to think all of this through, you and I together, the different people that we get to tap their expertise. I'm really excited to see what comes out of this 6 weeks. And then also just generally, I'm so excited to launch Billboard. I'm so excited about it. There's a lot that's going to take for us to get there. But it really does feel like it's 2 months away. I believe in us.
There's 31 days in May, right?
Sometime in May.
I mean, there's 31 days in May.
It'll happen.
Could be May 1st. Could be May 31st. We don't know. Anyone want to start a pool or something? Like, which day in May are we going to launch? We can sell tickets for Bitcoin.
And then still like an option for it's not happening in May.
And then everyone who puts their it's not happening in May, they have to split the pot with everybody.
I need everyone to root for us, not against us.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M-Pub and just start with that.
All right, babe, before we get to Satoshi for your thoughts, my mom today was like, Ian just looks so happy. Ian looks like he is really loving it here. You, Mandana, you look tired.
Damn.
And I was like, you know, mom, it doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm still a mom. And I said, I'm tired. I'll always be a tired mom, even in a gorgeous island in a beautiful house with my whole family. So Satoshi, for your thoughts, Ian, when you are placed where you are right now, where Bitcoin is so real, Nostra is so real, and there are people that are devoting at least a few weeks of their life to it, in a city where Bitcoin is accepted, all that fun stuff, does it build your conviction? Do you just enjoy it? Does it ease some secret concerns and doubts you have? What does it do for you as a Bitcoiner?
I'll give a good example. So on Friday, we at the Sovereign Engineering Program has like a barbecue, right? And so like the whole day in my mind was like, we're going to go there. We're going to go to demo day. We're going to see some demos. Then we're going to do a barbecue. We're going to chat with people afterwards or whatever. And we did. And then we went out to dinner with your sister. And then we came home and I'm sitting in the bed and I'm like looking at my phone for the first time pretty much all day. And I saw the article about the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve executive order. And I read it and I like did a double take. I reread it and I was like, this is pretty big, assuming they're going to do what they say they're going to do. And the people around that table are all incentivized to do what that document says. How is it that nobody today talked about this? Like, I was around a bunch of Bitcoiners all day and no one even said the word Strategic Bitcoin Reserve. I thought that was really interesting, and I've thought about that since I made that realization. And my analysis is that we all believe that it's going to work because we're all in each other's presence.
As you said this, babe, I thought, let me just check the price. It's down to 78. How do you feel when I tell you that?
It doesn't matter. That's how I feel. Like, this is what I'm saying. These are not the people that are talking about the price of Bitcoin. Like, this group of people are just like, Bitcoin's one. I have as much as I have. Maybe if I build something amazing, I will double my stack or triple my stack, right? But it's like, they feel comfortable enough to go someplace and work on their ideas, and they're not, hopefully not worried about money. And because of that, like, nobody talked about the price of Bitcoin on the day that the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve executive order was signed. I just found that fascinating. Because back home, I don't really have a lot of Bitcoiners to talk to, but I know if I went to a Bitcoin meetup, that would have been like the main thing that everyone talked about. Everyone wants to have their opinion on what the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve is or what Michael Saylor and MicroStrategies are doing. It's like a joke here, but we don't actually talk about that stuff. And so for me, I didn't really think about it at all. I just had that realization that like, we don't talk about those parts of Bitcoin. We're just talking about the future of the technology, not the future of the value of the money that may get us Lamborghinis or something. And that's just super refreshing. Because that's how I feel and that's how I think about it. But even amongst the Bitcoiners that I know back home, that's not what we talk about. And I don't want to talk about it anymore because in my mind, it's one, but they're still skeptical.
Well, you also have to think about, if you're not a developer, what else do you really have to contribute? You don't even know possibly enough to be able to think more deeply like you can about Bitcoin or Nostr even. Whereas if you're just like, yeah, Bitcoin is great and I understand policy and laws, so that's what I can talk about. So the application of Bitcoin or the societal adoption of Bitcoin versus the technological adoption of Bitcoin. Those are very two different things, but the technological adoption of Bitcoin, the price doesn't matter.
No, the price doesn't matter. And, you know, in a sense with eCash, Cashew, but the general idea of eCash now existing, like last cycle, it was Lightning. I feel like this cycle, it's going to be eCash.
Is that a cliffhanger for next week, babe?
I guess it is.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M pub. And just start with that.